Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service. It's the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next week is Palm Sunday, and we'll have a wonderful time. It'll kick off our Holy Week, and we're grateful that you are here today, and I'm grateful to be here. As you may or may not know, Sherry and I went to a conference this past week and worshiped at a wonderful Anglican church in small little church in Orlando, and it was just beautiful to know that they were doing the exact same thing that we were doing, and Christians around the world, and it was just a very familiar passage, and he preached a very good sermon. But last night coming home, we listened to a sermon that was recorded that was preached here last week. And it was even better than his, because the guy in Orlando didn't have a three-point sermon. And we know you have to have a three-point sermon because it reflects the Trinity. But Andy did a great job. And I appreciate the leadership of Mona and Jen and Andy preaching. And today, because I didn't know if something would happen that would disrupt me returning, Reverend Al Hill will be preaching for us. And that will be a blessing as well. So I'm grateful for it. Being home with my church family. And thank you for the prayers as we were away. Just a couple announcements. Next week does start Holy Week. I am very excited about the studies we will do each night in Holy Week. It's been a long time since we've done it. I don't know if we've ever done exactly like this, but each night we will be gathering in someone else's home and studying a particular scripture. And I just think it'll be a meaningful way for us together to enjoy Holy Week. You'll see the schedule in the bulletin. Also, Holy Week, of course, ends with Easter Saturday. And then Sunday, we will have an Easter sunrise service here, and we'll flower the cross during the Easter service. So be looking for your cut flowers for the Easter service. If you haven't seen that happen, it's a beautiful expression of the life that comes through the resurrection as we take that old rugged cross, and by the end of the service, it's a beautiful cross with flowers. And then today, the final announcement, and when we get to join with the other congregation that meets in this building, they use it on Saturday, the Lynchburg Seventh-day Adventist congregation, we will together be throwing things out. They don't have a very big dumpster, so it shouldn't take very long. But they are inviting us to a pizza lunch. And then as soon as we eat pizza, we'll throw stuff out. So I would love to have as many of us stay as possible to show them our support and our camaraderie with them. And I don't mean to say that any of you would, but if you're not going to stay and work, don't stay and eat the pizza. That might be embarrassing. So don't make us look bad on this. So you're welcome to have the pizza, but stay and at least throw something away. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer request. We have so much to give God praise for and things that we need to lift up. So other than the things that are listed here, or if anyone would like to expound on anything listed here, please, would you do so at this time? Any praise or prayer requests? Martha.
Well, my daughter did come home from the hospital last Saturday. It's going to be a long recovery. Doctor told her every day she was in the hospital would be a week of recovery. Mm-hmm. So that's 11 weeks. But she's getting stronger every day. It's just the incision is very difficult to deal with. So,
well,
thank you for all your prayers. She has really felt it.
Well, let's keep Jennifer and Marty in our prayers. Would you mind, if you send it to me, I'll give it to everyone else, sending an address where if anyone would like to send a card or a note that we could do that. And I'll pass that on. Thank you. And let's continue to keep Jennifer and Marty in our prayers. Right under that, if you'll see, well, two down, Larry Gilley, the gentleman who lost his house in the fire, and I know Dave Mason spoke with him. Larry was planning to show up today and thank all of you, but he has had the flu. So let's keep Larry in our prayers. Any other items? Yes, Webb.
This is on the prayer list this week, but a real good friend of mine,
like a substitute. His mom and he's had side by side since she's got colon cancer. And the hospital said the tumor is too big to operate on. She's got a second opinion coming up in a few weeks at Duke, where they don't even know if chemo's going to do anything. And I texted him yesterday, told him I was praying for him. He said Tuesday's a big day because they're going to find out if it's spread anywhere else.
This Tuesday?
Yes, sir.
Well, I knew it was a friend of yours. I didn't know it was Gunner's mom. So if I don't know, we're praying. And I don't know if she has a pastor, but if she'd like someone to have prayer with her.
I'm going to find out.
And do, let me know.
Yes, sir.
And let's keep, and how do you pronounce her first name?
Anise.
Anise. Let's keep Anise Maddox in our prayers. Any other items for prayer? Dick.
Helen, as always.
Let's keep Helen Kinzer in our prayers. Is she still in Arizona?
Still in Arizona. She got two or three more weeks.
Okay. Let's keep Helen in our prayers. Thank you. Robert.
I need to keep Helen in prayers. I'm having a lot of problems.
Okay. Let's keep Heather and the whole Wright family in our prayers. And it's good to see Dallas helping you man the booth today. So glad you're here. Yes, ma'am.
Bob Carson.
Let's keep Bob Carson in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Well,
two others real quick. Safe travels today for the girls as they go back to North Carolina.
Okay.
And also all the victims of this tornado.
Travels the girls and those that are traveling. Also for the people hit in Mississippi and Alabama with tornadoes, and also we put on there the people in East Palestine. Let's keep all of those in prayer. Any other? Patty.
Locally, Energy's back in the hospital.
Here locally?
This time, Roanoke.
Let's keep Gwen in prayer, and I hope this won't embarrass Patty, but look, when we mention prayer requests, sometimes it goes unspoken that the people that we pray for need prayer, but equally important, the caregivers need prayer. I read a study not too long ago where they took a group of caregivers and a group of non-caregivers, and of course it was a blind study, and they put a small injury on the arms of all the participants, and it took the caregivers about three times longer to heal than the group of non-caregivers. And even though in a way it seems like you're doing nothing, you're just sitting in a hospital room or whatnot, it's very taxing. So when we pray for these individuals, let's also lift up the mothers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the fathers, the husbands, the wives, because we walk these paths together. So let's keep Patty in our prayers too. Anyone else? Dave.
Glenn Harvey and my wife.
Let's keep Glenn Harvey and B in prayer. We'll certainly do that. Anyone else? Any more word on David and his kidney? Okay. Let's keep praying for that. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we come as one. You issue many invitations in the gospel, and because we tend to be somewhat self-centered, or at least I tend to be, we often think that the call that you make is in the first person, the singular you. But far more often, your calls to come is a plural you. Or as we would say in these parts, you're saying, y'all come. For your understanding is that when we come as one family, saying, our Father. For when one of us hurts, the other feels the pain. When one of us cries, the other tastes the salt. We laugh together and we cry together and we walk together and we support one another. And we just pray, coming to the source of all healing, the source of all good, the source of all joy, we come asking you. We ask that you would be with those that are far beyond our understanding and comprehension of the best path and the way of healing. But we cast these concerns upon you, trusting your wisdom. We pray for Heather and her family, and Gwen and her family. We pray for those that are dealing with different health recovery points, for Bob and for Helen, for Jennifer, for Glenn, for B. We pray for the upcoming procedure on the niece. We pray that you'll comfort her. May it go well. May they be able to find an easy, correctable situation. We pray that you would comfort and strengthen Gunner. We pray that you will bless them both. We pray that you'd be with those that are just devastated by the unexpected events of life. We think of those somewhat away, those in East Palestine, those in Mississippi and Alabama, and for those more local like Lair. We pray for all those who understand full well that life truly can change with a 15-second phone call. And we pray that you would be with them. We pray that you'd be with all of those that are traveling, that they would have safety on the roads. They can be congested and we can be distracted. Bring safety to all those that travel. We thank you for all of the people that call upon your name. And we're grateful that this afternoon we will be able to join together with the other congregation that shares this building and get something accomplished. But more than that, to get to know one another, to have fellowship with one another. For at the end of the day, we are children created by you, loved through Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, being led home together. So we thank you for all the joy we find in being your children, and we pray through the name of our elder brother. Amen. If you'll look with me, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you look, you'll notice, because we've had such lengthy readings, the psalm, it was omitted on the one insert, so if you'll find the other insert, we will use Psalm 130, calling each to worship. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness of you, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch the morning. Yes, more than those who watch the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption.
And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Let us stand and sing hymn 66, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from the graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Here's the first lesson for today.
Thank you. I must apologize before the prayer hymn. I did this bulletin close to midnight last night. The number is wrong. It's 544. Have thine own way, Lord.
Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson comes from Romans 8, 1 to 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Here ends the second lesson for today.
Thank you. thank you for your favor shown to us only through Christ Jesus, his gracious smile upon us. We praise you above all things. Amen. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Stand as you all are able. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for having me. It's a blessing to be here amongst you. And prior to the message, a little bit of housekeeping. One, as director of Vine and Branches Ministries, a ministry supported by the Well, I wish to say thank you. Your generous gifts enable the ministry to which I've been called at Lunenburg Correctional Center to function beyond what the stipend given to me would provide. At Christmas, Holy Communion was served to just over 100 individuals, and we're looking for the same thing to happen at Easter. In fact, at Easter, we're hoping not just to have the Protestants receive, but also through special arrangements made mostly by for the convenience of the prison, not by divine ordination, to have the Roman Catholics join us. And we'll see how that works out. But thank you very much. Along those lines, also, I would share that the message I'll be giving today was also I did a test run with the prisoners on Wednesday. I'm still alive. however, I will say they're a lot more forgiving in some ways because they're just happy that somebody's there. But and then along that line also, before you even get into the message, a commentary on the second lesson from somewhere in here, Romans 8, 1 through 11 at the bottom, where it reads in verse 9, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." And I believe that that message obviously was true to those to whom it was spoken, but I would affirm that it is very true of those who are gathered here today. This is a body of Christ filled with the Spirit, and it flows out from here into those around you. Part of this message I put together came from a presentation I've done a couple of times on the necessity of having a, quote, rule of life. And usually when I give that to a congregation, they see it as I'm telling them something else they got to do to be saved. And that's not what I'm telling you all at all. I'm reminding you that you're already doing it. You gather on Sundays for communal worship. You have fellowship throughout the week in the Word. There is study. In a rule of life, you have what they call piety. That's your gathering for worship. You have study, which is your time in the Word, both as an individual and within groups. And then you have Christian action. The food pantry, the people within your congregation that you care for and take care of, and all your variety of ministries reveal that this is a congregation working through a Christian calling known as a rule of life. And with that, I'll get into the meat of the message, hopefully. And we're going to start with a prayer. And this prayer is attributed to Clement of Rome. Clement is one of the saints of the church. He was imprisoned by the emperor of Rome. But one day, they brought him out of the prison and took him to the harbor. And he was probably thinking, things are looking up. This is a lot nicer than the dungeon I've been in. And then they put him in a small boat and took him out to a big ship, which was the emperor's private ship. I don't know what he was expecting. When he got there, the emperor gave him a choice. Deny your Christ. Clement passed on the invitation. He was then tied to the anchor, and the anchor was dropped overboard. And I bring in now here the imagery within the prayer attributed to this man that obviously he wrote before the experience with the anchor. O God, who is the unsearchable abyss of peace, the indescribable sea of love, the fountain of blessings, and the source of affection, you send peace to those who receive it. Open to us today your sea of love, and water us with your abundant streams from the riches of your grace and from the sweet springs of your kindness. Make us children of quietness and heirs of peace. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Sow in us reverence for you. Strengthen our weakness in your power. Bind us close to you and to each other in one firm and unbreakable bond of unity. Amen. Now let's start with our buddy Ezekiel. I like to, when I read scripture, see if I can put my place, if I can put myself into the place of the one who's sharing the story. And I had a head start on this one. For one of my favorite trails to walk in Douthat State Park is referred to as, its name is given as the Mountainside Trail. And two-thirds of that trail are verdant. Huge trees all around you, very green and lush. But one-third of that trail, which is in the middle, is dry and barren. And the slope that's below you is nothing but loose, crumbling shale. And every now and then you do get to see a skeleton, although it's not a soldier. It's usually a snake or a rabbit or some other kind of rodent. So I put myself into seeing what Ezekiel must have been seeing. And he talks about it. It was a valley full of dry bones. Very dry bones. And on this trail, I would say if you stepped off the trail, the soil's not there. That shale would just slip out beneath your feet, and you would go tumbling down into the valley unless you got slammed against a scrub pine on the way down. So he's looking at nothing. There is no life here. And God's telling him, prophesy. Speak to these bones. Now, when he was speaking to these bones, this wasn't like he was speaking to cadavers or whole skeletons. He's looking down. There's a rib over there, a femur over there, a toe over there, a skull over that way. And as he speaks and prophesies, these things start to come up and come together. And they form skeletons. And then God speaks to them, put flesh on those bones. And he does. And they flesh out. They're not breathing. Prophesy for them to breathe. And they breathe. Coming to that valley, Ezekiel believed in the power of God. There was an enemy coming towards Israel. Hollywood couldn't have made up a better name for him. Gog. I mean, first of all, it's one syllable, so everybody can pronounce it. Gog. Gog is going to come and get you. And it has this sort of foreboding sound to it as well. We still say he was a Gog and such, meaning their jaw dropped, which is probably what the people of Israel did when they heard Gog was coming. So Ezekiel's out there. He believes God can do something about this. But God wants to teach him something else. So God goes through this display of power where he stands in this very dry place, nothing alive, everything dead, and the dead stuff's all in pieces. And watches it all come together. Now, his belief has come to knowledge. Now he knows what God can do. He believed God could fix things, but now he knows God will fix things. That God is alive and active in the life of Israel and the life of Ezekiel. And the good news is he's still alive in us. He's still very much alive at the well. You heard my preface. Obviously, you're alive in Christ. A dead church could not be who you are. God promises him at the end of this exercise in verse 14. And I, and this is like the cherry on top of the sundae. God's going to save us. It's going to be all right. Look at this army God has raised from dead bones. We're good. And then God puts the cherry on the sundae. And I will put my spirit within you. You shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. 5 lessons from one of my favorite people whose last name I just forgot. Oh, I just remembered it. It's Beth Moore. God is who God says he is. God can do what God says he can do. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So how do we come to know God? I don't know of a tour anywhere that's going to take you out to a dry valley and let you stand over it and raise up an army by talking to dead people. But I haven't Googled it. I'm sure there's one out there on the internet somewhere. But what I would just getting into the Word. It's amazing how many times, in fact, you know, just this morning in the lessons, we see a lesson about knowing. In Psalm 27, The psalmist says, Lord, you speak in my heart. You say, seek my face. And the psalmist replies, your face, Lord, I will seek. We seek God's face by getting into God's Word. We seek God's face by getting together with other Christians and looking at His Word and sharing its impact on our lives together. We all know that God can do miraculous things. Expect Him to. Expect Him. When we go through our prayer list every Sunday, hear the prayers that are being said. Look at the names that are being prayed over. And expect to hear praise reports. Expect to hear what God is doing. Expect things to change. God is not static. God moves. A few weeks back, when the well resumed the intercessory prayers during communion, I walked forward. I asked Katie for prayer. I'd recently been diagnosed and was taking prescription for an anxiety issue. She prayed. I believed that prayer would be effective. It didn't happen right then and there. 2 weeks later, I went back. I told her that there had been improvement. But I was still taking my meds. But this past week, maybe it's because the meds are finally working, but I don't think that's it. I'm at peace within myself. The things that would put me on edge no longer put me on edge. God is alive and well, and He is still active in the lives of those who will allow Him the opportunity to work in their lives. I will confess, I still take the meds, but I'm taking them because I feel an obligation. I told my physician, I made her a promise, I will not stop taking these without telling you that I'm stopping to take them. But we're having that conversation on Tuesday. But God does work still. The miracles of the Old Testament happen each and every hour of each and every day still. Maybe not armies of skeletons coming up to fight your enemy. But maybe it's your enemy having a change of heart, seeing you in a new light. God can do what God says He can do. Years ago at the well, we had one, I think it was a Bible study, people were asked to share their favorite Bible verse. And I still remember one shared by John Williams. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still. And know that I am God. And the English Standard Version I like even better. Cease striving and know that I am God. And I relate that to when I went through the training. We had to jump in the pool and learn how to drown-proof yourself. The very first lesson was, when you're in the pool over your head, stop thrashing around. Relax. Be still. And you'll find that the water around you is going to actually hold you up if you stop fighting it. God's saying, stop trying to fix it yourself. Be still. Trust in Him. Like the water in the pool, He will hold you up. And through that, know know that Yahweh rules. Yahweh is God. Not my circumstances. Not the people I've, some, for whatever reason, feel a need to impress or show obedience to or whatever. God is in charge. And God desires to sustain us. Psalm 100, verse 2. Know this, the Lord Himself is God. And here I go to the King James. For it is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. Like many other males, I have this tendency sometimes to look at the, quote, things I've accomplished and tell myself, look what you've done. I ain't done nothing. It is by God's grace that I am in places that I happen to be. Everything in my life. I tried my best to wreck it, but He still fixed it. God is who God says He is. And we are who God says we are. In the story of Lazarus, we see a few things happen. And just because I like to bring this up every time it comes up, even though it has nothing to do with my sermon, I'm going to do it. Thomas, when the disciples are together going, why are you going back to that place? They tried to kill you last time you were there. Why are you going back? And Jesus gives an explanation why He's going back. Thomas, the one that we have labeled the doubter, because in the upper room, He said, you guys got to see Him and touch Him and all this stuff, but I didn't. I'll believe when I get to touch. And so it was Him saying, seeing is believing, and we labeled Him the doubter. But here, prior to seeing the risen Christ, He's the one that says, He's got to go there. And if He's got to go, we have to go and die with Him. Strong words for a doubter. I wish I could doubt that strongly. If He must go and die, we must go and die with Him. But that wasn't the point of the story. That's just an aside. The point of the story is, Jesus goes. And He gives in the preamble, the early parts of that scripture passage, the reason why. Oh, He's asleep and I must go awaken Him. And when they misunderstood what He meant by sleep, He said, yeah, I have to go and bring Him back. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They had seen Him heal the sick. They had seen Him do miracles. They knew He had power when He was there. But could He do any of this from a distance? Or could He do it after the person had already been buried? Were there limits? They believed He was the Messiah. But after this, they knew He was the Son of God. They knew. See, believing will get us to salvation. All you who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for the remission of your sins shall be saved. But the power of God comes upon those who know, be still, cease striving, and know. Know that God is alive and well and active in each of our lives. and be willing to relinquish your claim to control and allow him to intervene, and then you will know his power. You will know. Amen.
Amen.
Having heard the word preached, let us stand, brothers and sisters, and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed be your name, God of Moses, for you so loved the world, and all that you so love, you created to share life with you. When your people were suffering as captives in Egypt, you heard their cries, led them to freedom, and made with them a covenant life. When your people were perishing in the poison of sin, you sent your only Son to take our trespasses into himself, to be our healing medicine. Suffering his own death and rising in glory, he won our redemption and transformed the poison of our sin into your elixir of life. And so we sing your praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Redeeming God, who sent your Son into the world not to condemn, but so that the world might be saved through him, sanctify this everlasting feast, and through it draw your church into your eternal triune life. By your Spirit, bless these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again, having given you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Restoring God, whose Son was lifted up, that we might look upon him and live, bring us through his cross to the glory of resurrection. Shed your mercy on those who look upon malady and disease and long for healing of body, mind, or spirit. Deliver your children afflicted by the poison of enmity and strife in their families, neighborhoods, or communities. Hold your redeeming cross before eyes cast down by injustice. Raise up in your church men and women of courage and discipleship. Lift up in every heart the hope born of your passion, until all your children look upon the day when the world that you so love is at last one with you in glory. And together with the saints, we drink the wine of your kingdom, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, we have read the scripture. We've heard it expounded, speaking of the miraculous working of God. We have a phrase, and we've used it recently, when we pray for youngsters who have difficulties, and God's healing power is there, as it was in Paisley, who we have been praying for, and we call her a miracle baby. Brothers and sisters, this table of which we gather, we only allow miracle babies to come forth. Each one of you is the first and foremost greatest miracle was performed on each one of you. Maybe your birth was without any health complications. Maybe your life has had an absence of any complications where it seemed like a miracle would be necessary. But I call those who were dead in their trespasses and sin, and through the resurrecting power of God, you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Through His grace, through Christ, each one of you is a miracle. You have tasted the first resurrection. You've gone from death, and you see life in your own being. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, who adore Jesus Christ above all things, to come forth and to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ given for you. It's been made mention, and again it'll be, in fact I think we'll have Katie over on this side and Andy on this side, so we'll have any those who would like to join with prayer. You can do that after you receive the body and blood of Christ. So Katie and Andy, if you'll come forth, the feast is spread. Let us keep the feast.
gracious God, we thank you for having fed us of your very body and blood, given to redeem us. We thank you that you tasted death so that we can know eternal life in all things. May our confidence and strength and encouragement and peace be not based on the fact that we see what seems to be living, but that we hear your gracious promise, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, confirm and seal that promise within us. And we look forward to that point where faith will be no more, for we truly will see all things alive to your grace and glory. And we thank you for glimpses that remind us along the way, for brothers and sisters that encourage us when we're discouraged, and for your Holy Spirit that whispers over and over the presence of a living and loving God who has called us his own. We thank you for the life and love we know in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and we will close our worship service with the final hymn.
Thank you.
present you faultless before the throne to God our Savior, who alone is all-wise, powerful, and strong. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Amen. And remind you, if you can, we'll have pizza in the basement and fellowship hall, and then we'll work together. God bless you.